asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're talking toxic Ticketmaster, water waste, and Macron's mission.
I'm surprised you didn't roll your R there on the Macron.
Yeah, I took Spanish in high school and college, Matt.
Related to French,
that's
though.
That's true.
You can always count on Joel, though, for some alliterative headlines. You should have capped it off with rising rates, which we'll get to.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, too.
Postponed passports. Let's just go ahead and round it out. But this is our Friday flight, and we're going to cover some of the best headlines that we came across this week, the ones that we think are going to impact your finances the most, and what it is that you should be doing in response to the stories as well.
Yeah. Okay, just briefly wanted to mention, listener Jen posted in our Facebook group this week, she said, since none of us are going to be interviewed by Matt and Joel, which don't speak too soon, Jen, we might be reaching out to you.
You never know.
You never know. And she said, well, I want to know what everyone's craft beer equivalent is. So it just really started this fun cavalcade of people posting the stuff that they like to spend money on. It was just fun to see. By the way, if you're not a member of the How to Money Facebook group and you're also on Facebook, you should totally join it, because like that's the only good redeeming part about Facebook, I think. But it was just really neat to see like what everybody spends money on, like what they, the stuff they prioritize in their lives.
Yeah. So this must have been a popular thread, because Kate actually brought it. I'm never on it, so I feel like you added that part. And if you're on Facebook, because I'm on Facebook, but I'm a member or whatever, like I have an account.
What's your number there?
It's one of the social media platforms that I just decided I need to remove from my life.
No, you're like the deadbeat dad of our Facebook group.
Exactly.
Everyone knows it.
Well, Kate mentioned this particular thread, and it sounds like it blew up. But did you have some favorites in particular that folks mentioned?
Well, I did notice that a lot of people have beverages that they prioritize. Coffee in particular.
Okay.
A lot of people go in the coffee direction.
I can get behind that. Yeah. I'm actually thinking about getting a pretty nice grinder at it. I keep getting fed. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
It's up to me to decide what Kate and I purchase for our home.
Well, you like coffee a lot, though.
I really do. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, somebody else, by the way, said...
Think about upping the kind of grinder that we have.
All right, get the nice one. Get the nice one. I think you can spring for it. But someone else said expensive board games, which, of course, you and I 100% are... in on that. We don't play nearly as much as we used to, but a $60 board game,
less time to just hang out with the four of us,
but it's well worth it to buy a couple good board games. Mm-hmm. Or you know, 5 or 10. And then someone said competitive darts. I don't even know what that looks like. Are you just, is it kind of like a pool cue that you get a nicer cue stick or something like that?
Competitive, I'm assuming darts that you throw at like a dartboard,
right? But I'm saying like similar to a pool cue where people upgrade and get the nice ones. Do they have fancy darts?
Oh, I'm sure they do. Okay. Yeah, you can get like the cheap ones that come with like the kit, you know, that you buy from the toy store, or I'm sure you can get some that are like really nice, that are hand tied,
weighted.
It makes me think of like fishing flies. Like you can buy like fly fishing, you can get the standard issue flies, but then it's also an art.
Yeah.
Although I'm not even sure that folks use those to fish with. I think they're just kind of on display. But no, I love this. I love that somebody put competitive darts. I'm also curious how much they could potentially cost. Like, what's the range really nice darts?
I would be fascinated to know.
I bet they throw real good, real nice. But I love, honestly, the weirder the better here, because what it makes me think is that folks have given some time, they've given some thought to what it is that they want to spend their money on, as opposed to just going with the flow and spending money on whatever the internet tells them that they should be spending their money on. It makes me think a little bit about a conversation we're planning to have next week about stealth wealth and how it's important to spend in ways that reflect our values.
Because it's just so easy to get sucked into spending in ways that other people say are important.
Exactly.
And not taking the time to figure out what matters to us. So thanks, Jen, for making that fun thread in the Facebook group.
I love that.
All right, Matt, let's move on. Let's get to the Friday Flight, the sampling of stories we found interesting this week. There's a lot to cover, a lot to talk about. Fed interest rate hikes. That was a top story of this week, right? Yeah. And what did they do on Wednesday? They kept hiking rates. Although they kind of signaled that maybe we're starting to get close to the end of rate hikes. That remains to be seen, but that's at least kind of what they're signaling.
We'll see. Well, I mean, so the balance was, do you raise rates to kind of combat inflation, or do we not raise rates in order to give the banks a relief? It's sort of walking that tightrope. And actually, Jay Powell, he mentioned in a statement too that by slightly raising interest rates, not as high as maybe some of the Fed governors wanted to, that will likely tighten up lending standards. And what that means is banks will essentially be lending out less money, which should in turn also drive down inflation, because if there's less money floating around in our financial system, there'll just be less money to spend.
Yeah. And basically, the Fed was signaling that inflation is still the top priority, even though kind of what's been happening in the banking sector has been a little concerning, right, over the last couple of weeks. And I think it makes sense from where we're sitting. Like, and it's good news for savers, too, even though, but it's not great news if you've got something like credit card debt on hand that you haven't paid off. We've been saying that for months and really over a year now. Like, hey, these rising rates mean you got to get rid of that credit card debt as quickly as possible, because it just continues to get worse. And if you want to know more about what these rate hikes are doing to your finances, by the way, we just talked about that in episode 644. So check that one out if you haven't had a chance to listen. But even though interest rates kind of took the top slot, what's happening with the banks is still front of mind too. And so, Matt, let's talk about everyone's favorite topic right now, FDIC insurance. I think most listeners probably have seen more headlines, have read more about FDIC insurance over the past couple of weeks than at any time previously in their lives. And debates are starting to rage about whether or not FDIC insurance is a good thing. Should we raise limits to prevent future bank runs, or should we eliminate FDIC insurance altogether? There are proposals kind of on both sides, because kind of in actuality, what happened was a lot of people with uninsured deposits got bailed out when those couple of banks collapsed. So then the nature of FDIC insurance starts to come into question. And you know, wonky people are debating these things. My favorite proposal, though, that I saw was to maybe keep FDIC insurance where it is, or maybe even lower it just a touch. But if you want to have more insurance on your deposits, pay for it yourself. Start to self-insure.
Yeah.
And so some of these, you know, smaller companies or wealthy individuals with larger deposits, it's like, cool, if you want to do all your business with one bank, pay for that extra insurance, like make that come out of your own dime.
Heck yeah, man, privatize it. Makes sense to us. Honestly, because our deposit insurance here in the U.S., it actually goes well beyond what most other major countries are offering. And so maybe even reducing that mandatory FDIC insurance threshold would make sense.
Like the $100K where it used to be.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it does make sense to have an insurance product out there that allows individuals to pay that extra in order to pile their funds up under one roof. But still, this is what's going on for the time being. And just so you know, we said this last week, but just to reiterate it, money that is in your savings account is safe. Just make sure that you are keeping it under $250,000, but there is no need to go running to some of the bigger banks. If you are with an FDIC insured bank, your money is safe. And also, if you have more than $250K sitting around, you probably shouldn't. That should likely be money that you should be investing in the market, as opposed to having it sit idle.
Depends on what your money goals are, right?
It depends on what your goals are.
I'm buying a $5 million mansion in a couple months. Then maybe you need more cash on hand and you've got to react accordingly. But keeping it all in one account where you have uninsured assets is not smart.
Exactly, yeah. And also, I can imagine there's too many folks saving up for that $5 million home.
Well, I can't imagine.
If so, hey, good for you.
I can't imagine there's that many How to Money listeners who are like, have the fortunate problem of having $800,000 in liquid cash or something like that. But I'm sure there are a few out there who are trying to wrestle with those sorts of things. But I think just a lot of concerns prop up from people too, wondering whether or not the bank they're with is safe. And we just want to continually say the same thing, that yes, your bank, if it's FDIC insured, is a safe place to store your money. You don't need to go to one of the big banks where they're going to likely charge you more fees, offer you worse customer service, like not have nearly as great of interest rates. So just want to keep hammering that home. You don't need to go to your local brick and mortar and move all your funds over there. But let's talk about banking fees for a second, Matt, because there's actually some good news on that front. And it turns out that banks are eliminating overdraft fees in a big way, saving consumers billions of dollars. And how many billions? Basically about five billion. And so overdraft fees, they used to be a major source of revenue for the banks, but they were also one of the worst, most irritating kind of fees for individuals, for consumers. And so we're glad to see more banks moving in this direction. I think a lot of it's done to try to appease regulators on the front end of things. But yeah, I think it's important too to mention that we all need to make sure we're doing business with the banks that are intent on reducing fees. We mention them every time it happens. Ally is one of those. Capital One has done a great job at that. Check the bank's website, log into your account, see if you're being charged a monthly maintenance fee or if you've been charged overdraft fees recently. And if so, it's time to switch. It's time to get out of there. There are a lot of banks now who are saying, we're doing away with these fees. We just want to make sure you're with one of them. That you're not sticking with one of the ones that is socking you with a $36 overdraft fee just when you buy a cup of coffee that you didn't quite have enough money in the account to cover.
That's right. Yeah. So speaking of fees, let's talk about Ticketmaster, because I don't know if it's possible for Ticketmaster to get any worse, right? Like I don't think there's any other person or any other institution that draws this much hate. And even though Ticketmaster, they actually did something that they, maybe others would consider nice this week, they still deserve a public shaming here on the podcast. They deserve to be called out because, yes, Taylor Swift fans, they had a hard time buying tickets to see their favorite performer. But the astronomical fees that Ticketmaster continues to charge customers is what we can't get over. And the latest example of this has been The Cure's latest tour. They just started selling tickets for the new tour. And of course, if you're a fan, you got to go through Ticketmaster. So some fans were apparently paying over $90 in fees on $80 worth of tickets. That's a total of over $170 for just a handful of tickets. But what's crazy is just that the fees are adding up to actually be more than what the actual tickets were going to cost initially.
Well, you got to pay the CEO, Matt, and the upper echelon of Ticketmaster. So the band doesn't even get, you know, as much money as the Ticketmaster elites. But I really do think Ticketmaster should be truly ashamed of kind of the fee structure that they have in place. But they're not. I don't think they care at all. And Robert Smith, who's the lead singer of The Cure, he was pretty sensitive to a lot of the fan complaints. And he said something to Ticketmaster on their behalf, which is always amazing to me that more artists aren't sticking up for their fans because their fans are the ones who are being taken advantage of. And I will say, one little small check mark in Ticketmaster's corner, for the first time ever, they actually did, and I was surprised to see this, they admitted that their fees were a bit much.
Yeah, this could potentially be a turning point. Is the one tidbit of good news.
Unlikely that it's a turning point, but at least it was something. It was a drop in the bucket. But here's exactly what they said. They said, many of the fees being charged are unduly high. I quote that. And so they refunded, well, how much money? $5 to $10, depending on the ticket price. So we're still talking about ticket prices being double what they otherwise would be. And, you know, basically Ticketmaster has a monopoly, selling something like 80% of the concert tickets in the country. And I think artists really need to push back even more. They need to have their voices heard because, again, it's their fans who are being taken advantage of. And so Congress, I think, needs to do something too. The fact that Ticketmaster continues to be allowed to hose consumers in the way they do, it's unconscionable. I hate seeing fees like this charged to everyday folks who just want to go see their favorite band or whoever.
Yeah. Honestly, I just don't understand how Ticketmaster and Live Nation were able to join forces.
Yeah.
So it was back in 2009, they were allowed to merge, and that's what essentially gave them a stranglehold over the entire industry. But when you're so dominant, when you're such a juggernaut, there is no ability for competition to come in and actually compete and to offer a competitive product, something that can stand up to Ticketmaster a little bit. But this is why competition matters. And actually, if you want another example, take wet dog food. This might be a weird example, but just stick with us. James Kerr, he wrote about this over at The Humble Dollar this week. And he found that wet dog food has jumped in price, while dry dog food, it's barely budged. And so he wrote a letter to the manufacturer, and he, no surprise, he got a short note back that said basically nothing. But what he found was that even though there were 10 brands of wet dog food out there, they all come from the same two or three suppliers. Mm. And so, again, just a limit, a smaller amount of competition. So it also makes me think, was it JetBlue and Spirit were looking to join forces
That's
again?
Right.
And they got shut down. So and there are a lot of different airlines.
There are more
out
airlines
there
than there are ticket issuers.
Absolutely.
Or wet dog food makers even.
Yeah, so it's not as bad as the concert ticket industry, because nothing... I would even say not even home internet is as bad as like Ticketmaster, because at
and
least
home
with
internet, it's up there.
Yeah, but at least you've got two guys that you are bouncing back and forth.
A lot of people would call that a duopoly. They set prices kind of against each other, not in a competitive way, but almost in like a collaborative way, which is pretty nasty. But it's still not as bad as a monopoly, which Ticketmaster clearly is.
Yeah, and I would, yeah, and you even said something about Congress doing something too, and I might even push back a little bit on that, because I'm not sure when anytime I feel like the government gets involved, it tends to lead to ultimately, like in the long run, perhaps an inferior product. But I am surprised that they were, again, back in 2009, that they were able to join forces.
Man, I disagree, because it's so terrible that they're allowed to do this, and they charge such high fees, and it's not like they're providing a great product either. So the product suffers, the consumer suffers, and like something needs to be done really to curb.
I would feel differently if, like, the airlines I get, because it's more of a public utility, but like, this is entertainment, and do folks need to go see The Cure? Kate would enjoy that, you know? She was a fan back in the day. But for that reason, it's something that I think folks can choose to opt out of, and their life won't be dramatically impacted. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But I feel like this puts a bad taste in people's mouths in terms of like how capitalism works. When monopolies and duopolies are allowed to run amok, it makes people think that capitalism is a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And
I get that.
And I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is the monopoly or duopoly situation.
We also have a choice, too, because if you... say you are like, okay, I must go to that show. Maybe it is life-giving to me. but you can still go to the show, but just go straight to the box office, and then you get to skip those fees altogether.
Well, sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes. It depends on the place it's selling it, and sometimes there are fees when you buy it in person, too. I've been able to skip fees many times going that route, but then, again, when you look at something like the Taylor Swift or Beyonce concerts, like...
Those tickets were gone in a blink of an eye,
yeah,
basically.
So you don't have that option. So, yeah, something should be done about Ticketmaster. I don't know what, but at least we're going to rake them over the coals here on the show. But, Matt, we got more to get to on today's Friday Flight. We want to talk about kind of what's happening with the passport situation and give kind of a word of advice for anybody who's looking to travel soon. We'll talk about that and more right after this. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus 5-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the a.m. in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's KACHAVA.com/howtomoney.
You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life? What are you doing now to help you to get there? Well, there are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP.
What about that dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events.
So, it's safe to say, it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, your health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We are back from the break, and we're going to continue our Friday flight here with the ludicrous headline of the week. And this one comes from Bloomberg. The headline reads, "Bottled water sales exceed the cost of providing safe water for all," UN says. So, yeah, it turns out that we spend way too much on bottled water in this country. And it raises the question, Joel, you know, given the reality of safe, clean tap water at our disposal, it is amazing that so many folks are opting for bottled water that costs way more.
Yes, it is.
Part of what this new paper found was that, and this is, I'll quote this, companies selling water also use marketing to undermine faith in public systems, which essentially what that means is like we are buying into the marketing hype that bottled water is better for us when it's just not.
Yeah. And well, I feel like all sorts of newfangled bottled waters have come on the market recently too, where it's like bottled water with electrolytes or different pH levels or something like that. And so
with salt.
Yeah. It seems, and I'm not saying that there's zero merit to any of those different kinds of bottled water. I'm sure there is something, but how much money we're spending to get these fancified versions of bottled water, or there's even like Liquid Death, which is canned water, which has like $700 billion in sales or something like that. It's like one of the fastest growing companies. And it's literally just a cool can that contains water.
Liquid Death.
We are so buying into the marketing on this front, and it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, I will say, so like they were trying to equate the fact that certain companies, certain industries, in particular the bottled water industry, that because it's doing well, that means that other countries out there aren't able to provide safe, publicly accessible drinking water. And I take a little umbrage with that part of it, because it's not like the success of those industries is holding down the ability for some countries to thrive, right?
Like,
to
just like saying to that ahead. We're spending more on bottled water. It's just a kind of absurd.
It's a comparison, essentially. But I guess I didn't like how they were kind of comparing. Like, it made me think of, like, you could apply that to anything. Like, hey, the reason there aren't mosquito nets on the other side of the world is because you're watching Netflix. It's like, well, like,
if we all stop watching Netflix and sent that towards mosquito nets, there's probably some
but one doesn't necessarily equate to the other. And I think we should all have the freedom to certainly donate money in ways that we see fit. But I do agree that we are spending way too much stinking money on bottled water here. We would recommend for folks to go out there, get yourself a solid filtration system for your house, or just like a Brita filtration pitcher, which is what we got in our little fridge here.
Or literally just drink the straight up tap water, homies. Like, that, there's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, well, yeah. It tastes better when you filter it.
But. Maybe. But barely.
But the
tap water we got is mostly fine. Come on.
It's mostly fine. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just the flavors that you get sometimes from the chlorination. I'm not a huge fan of. When I'm making my fancy coffee, which I'm going to be making more of after I get a nicer grinder, perhaps. But I, as I was thinking about it, I think one of the reasons, though, that Americans in general, or folks all around the world, go with bottled water is because it's just the convenience, right? Like, if you've got a bottled water, that means it's in the fridge. You can just go up to the fridge, grab it, and walk away, and you've got a nice thing of water there. But buying a reusable bottle and actually going through the process of filling it up, it only takes a second, but it'll save you a lot of money.
We're wasting money, we're wasting plastic, and we're not really getting much in return. So
totally.
All right, let's talk about passports, Matt, because passport wait times are not great right now. That is maybe
not
an understatement.
Great, Bob.
Maybe an understatement. But the State Department is basically overwhelmed with the amount of passport requests that are coming in the front door, including both yours and mine, although you paid the extra expedited fee wisely, because now you have that looming over your head.
Yeah, well, you were able to renew yours online, and I had to go in person because mine had expired so long ago.
Yeah.
Because heads up, when you have four kids, you don't do much international travel.
Yeah. Well, so mine now still says 2 months later, after having submitted it online, which I thought
is crazy.
I thought it was going to be a superior process. It still only says received. So it doesn't even say that it's in process, which is super frustrating.
I bet you'll get yours like in a few days.
I hope so.
Yeah. By next Tuesday, I bet it's in your inbox. Or what do you call it? Mailbox. Hey, your actual mailbox.
Pray hand emojis. Okay. Going up for that one. But yeah, there's something, they're trying to process something like 500,000 passports a week, which is delaying things. So I'm one of a lot of people getting lost in the shuffle. And so just word of the wise, if you're planning on taking an international trip this year and your passport is expired or expiring, get on the ball, get the renewal process started now. And like I said, you can submit the renewal request online, which is a cool time-saving feature, but allow yourself extra weeks beyond even what the State Department is saying it's going to take, which I did, and I'm still, fingers crossed, hoping I'm going to get it in time. We will see, but don't delay, because it really could mess up your trip in a big way, costing you even more.
Or maybe even just days off your life as you sit there and stress about it. That's why I paid to get it expedited. I thought that it would be able to show up on time, I think, but because I had to go in person and wait in the long stinking line, I was like, all right, let's just go ahead and expedite it.
Yeah, which now I'm wishing I had.
Yeah, but yeah, just to have it. I'll say, the new passports are nice.
Cheap, not frugal.
No, I think it'll show up very soon, Joel. But it is also important to note that the expiration date on your passport, it's not necessarily the actual expiration date.
Oh.
And so what I mean by that is that most countries, they don't want your passport to expire while you're there visiting. They want you to be able to get out of there and go home. So a lot of countries in Europe require that your passport be valid for at least 3 months, like France, Germany, Italy, like the big popular countries that folks want to visit.
From the date of departure, right?
From the date of, yeah, exactly, exactly. Although there's probably less folks wanting to visit France these days. We'll get to that story here in a second.
But you might think, oh, my passport, it's just fine. I've got plenty of time left on it, but the visiting country you're going to says, au contraire, no, we don't, you're not allowed in unless you've got at least 3 months left to go
exactly.
on that passport.
Yeah, and honestly, there's a bunch of other countries that push that requirement out even further to 6 months, like the Cayman Islands, Malaysia,
where
Thailand.
Where your bank account is, Matt, right? The Caymans.
Exactly. The United Arab Emirates, they fall in this category as well. So it's not, there's a lot of countries out there that want you to show and to prove that, hey, by the time you leave here, your scheduled departure date, your passport needs to be a good half year from expiring. That way you don't run into any sort of complications, any sort of difficulties.
Yeah.
So even if your passport is not technically expired, it might be treated like it is. And so if you are in that position, we would recommend that you go ahead and get it renewed as well.
Yep, totally. All right, so let's talk about retirement for a second.
And why you may not want to go and visit Paris.
Yeah, well, there are multiple reasons maybe not to go visit Paris right now, Matt. As we're talking about retirement, let's talk about Macron and what's going on kind of in Paris right now, in France in general. And my sister, my mom and dad, they were just over there visiting, and they were talking to me about how the metro was shut down, and there was kind of some different stuff going on.
Was there flaming bags of trash in the streets?
Not yet. They left right before the flaming bags of trash. Yes, yeah, so they got out just in the nick of time. But why are things going haywire over in France? Well, it's because the president is trying to raise the retirement age there from 62 to 64. And the French people, they're just not happy about it. And so, in fact, there are strikes across the country, fires in the streets. And unfunded liabilities are a problem that a lot of countries around the world are having to reckon with, right? As the average age of the population gets older, there are countries that are worse off than France, right? Like Japan, for instance. And someone has to be the adult in the room. And President Macron is attempting, see, you like my pronunciation there?
You're doing, yeah. All right. You've improved greatly.
Thank you.
From the beginning of this episode.
So he's really attempting to be the adult here. And it might be to the detriment of his political career even. And he finally kind of broke his silence this week, and he said, do you think I enjoy doing this reform? No. The longer we wait, the worse the situation will get. And so my question is, when are politicians in our country going to do the same thing? When are they going to say, you know what matters the most is getting this right, not my own...
Actually addressing the problem.
Yeah, not my own political career and me... getting reelected again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's showing some, I actually appreciate what he's doing. He's showing some initiative, and he's actually being a leader as opposed to politicians in our country who typically just continue to politic instead of lead. And so on that note, on the note of our country, let's talk about Social Security, because it feels like it's a long way off to most How to Money listeners, but it is always worth mentioning, right? It's worth putting into your head now that taking Social Security early is a bad idea. If you were to draw on it as soon as you are eligible, it could easily cost you tens of thousands, but it could even get up into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So a recent study found that roughly 90% of individuals would benefit financially by waiting until age 70 to collect their checks, their Social Security. But less than 10% of retirees actually wait that long.
Wow.
Just something to keep in mind, especially if you are getting closer to retirement age or you've got parents who are and they're healthy. there are plenty of good odds out there that you're going to live well into your 90s. So, you know, getting that bigger check every single month for decades is going to be a huge win. And, you know, back in episode 413, we actually talked about whether or not we can count on Social Security being there by the time we, you know, achieve
millennials, or, in particular,
yeah,
millennials, Gen Z,
reach retirement age. And, you know, we think that it will still be there. We don't think it's going to be completely gone. But like France is dealing with right now, at what age will we be eligible to start drawing on Social Security? Yeah. And how much will be available to us? That is certainly up in the air.
So much depends on how long it's going to take for the politicians to address kind of the elephant in the room,
yeah,
the actual problem, and start making changes. And the longer we wait, the more drastic the measures are going to have to be.
Exactly. And I think this is another reason, too, that we advocate for you to start investing, saving and investing for your own retirement.
Yep.
Take the responsibility. Do you want to count on the government to figure this out by the time you reach retirement age, or do you want to take the reins in your own hands,
yeah,
and steer that bad boy where you want it to see it go?
And I think we basically said that most people should be able to assume that something like 75% of the current payout of Social Security that even millennials and Gen Z will be eligible for. But you definitely want to start planning for your own retirement, because even that wouldn't be enough. But hopefully our elected leaders take a page out of Macron's book, and hopefully we as U.S. citizens react a little differently.
As they see fires in the street, they're like, yeah, let's do that.
Maybe we'll hold off a couple more years,
there's
right?
No way.
Let things calm down over in Paris.
Yeah.
Which I get, but still not the best way to proceed. All right, let's talk about cell phones for a second, Matt, and cell phone plans. Verizon announced a couple of weeks ago that they're going to be raising rates on some of their older cell phone plans. Not by much. We're talking like $2 a month on a lot of these plans. But the additional fee is set to be added on April 10th. And it's not necessarily that this $2 a month fee is what you should be repulsed by. This isn't going to break the bank, break the budget of most of our listeners. $2 a month. Like, most people get to handle that. But it's the overall price that you're likely paying if you're on a Verizon phone plan, and $2 extra should be the thing that finally gets you to switch.
That should be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yes, exactly. And so Americans, I think they're paying something around $75 for a single line on average for cell phone service every single month.
That is too much.
So it's not the $2. It's the $75 versus the $15 or $20 that they
exactly
really could be paying, right? And so, yeah, this added fee, it really should be the last straw, getting you to finally move your business to one of the major discounters like Mint, Visible, Boost, mm-hmm, or Google Fi. Those are some of the best ones.
That's right, yeah. And so on that note, Mint Mobile, they announced, I guess was this last week or maybe even the week before, but they are selling to T-Mobile. And let's be honest, we're not thrilled about this,
yeah,
but we're also not despondent, because T-Mobile, you know, they've kind of been a disruptor in the cell phone space. It seems like over the years that they've sort of held the likes of Verizon and AT&T accountable in many ways. Again, going back to the competition conversation, the more competitors there are, the better.
Yeah.
That's why we're not happy about Mint getting bought out by T-Mobile, but the fact that, I don't know, that T-Mobile exists, I guess, makes me happy.
And Mint still really has some of the best cheap offerings, and
uh-huh,
T-Mobile has made it sound like they're going to keep it that way.
If they change things dramatically, I think it would be a massive mistake.
Yeah.
Like, why would you spend that much money on this growing, affordable brand only to jack the rates up? It sounds like Ryan Reynolds, he's still going to be involved, which I think that bodes well, since he's basically who spearheaded Mint. And the messaging so far, it's been that T-Mobile is not planning to raise prices on the Mint Mobile plans, which is good. So fingers crossed that T-Mobile, that they stay true to their word. And if that isn't how things actually play out, you'll definitely be hearing about it right here. How to money. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to use our Mint Mobile plans,
yeah,
to the max.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, we're big fans. We've used them for like three.
But we don't have the unlimited ones because we don't need them.
Not to the unlimited max.
Yeah.
Correct.
to the cheapest gig amount we need max. But
exactly.
Yeah. And yeah, it's still one of the cheapest plans out there for sure that a lot of people should think about. And yeah, if Mint Mobile all of a sudden goes Darth Vader, takes a turn for the worse or something like that, we'll report back. But hopefully not. So, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode.
That's
if you
right
want show notes and you want links to any of the stuff that we mentioned, you can find those up on our website at howtomoney.com.
That's right. So until next time,
best friends out.
Best friends out.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.